Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Look, again, I'm pointing you back to the fact that there's no consensus within the intelligence community. And I would also note that for those of you that are always taking the New York Times at their word, they erroneously reported that the president was briefed on this. He was not briefed on this, and neither was the vice president. So before buying into full-fledged a narrative from the New York Times that falsely stated something about the president, that you would wait for the facts to come out. And note, once again, there's no consensus in the intel community. And in fact, there are dissenting opinions from some within it.
It's Kayleigh McEnany trying to set the record straight where, you know, you and I are looking for information. Stories come out. They get put through the political laundry machine before they ever reach our ears. And you don't know what to believe. I think that causes quite a lot of people to just turn it all off. And then you become less informed and probably more partisan. It doesn't help anything. And then you look out your window one time and you see the world has gone mad and you're saying, how the heck did we get here? It's hard to pay attention today because the news is so complicated. It's like you have to have a master's degree in knowing who is providing what information where, what are their sources? Okay, they don't cite their sources. They say they have sources. It's complicated. And it's frustrating. And we get to the point where we just kind of opt out of it. It's not the solution, but it is, I think, in many people's cases, the current scenario. Each week, we have a great guest on with us, Jim Carafano, who joins us from the Heritage Foundation. He's an expert in national security and foreign policy challenges facing the United States. Jim, great to have you back. Hope you're doing well.
I am doing well because I'm on the Annie Fry Show.
Yes, I mean, love to hear that.
Better.
Yeah, that's fake news? I hope that's not fake news. We're looking at all of this stuff that's happening on a national scale. We're looking at people, you know, unrest over these statues. We're looking at COVID cases spiking. But meanwhile, there's a lot of other things going on right now. Like, for instance, Iran issuing an arrest warrant for the president of the United States. What in the world is going on here?
Yeah, so many things I would like to talk about on this Russia bounty story. But actually, the Iran news is actually a great place, an important place to start. So Iran has issued an arrest warrant, not just for the president, for like 30 American officials, for the death of General Soleimani. So to remind you, General Soleimani was the head of the Quds Force, which is the paramilitary arm of the Iranian government. They actually run around the region fomenting violence, all kinds of illegal acts and terrorism. He was actually in Iraq, in a foreign country, plotting terrorist attacks against the United States government. And what the president did was treat him like any other terrorist, state sponsored or otherwise. He ordered an attack on him because he was a direct threat to Americans. From an Iranian perspective, this is just, you know, politics. It's posturing. They're going after Trump. So we can put all that aside. But this actually links to the Russia story, because the whole premise of the New York Times story was the president knew that the Russians were trying to kill American soldiers, and he didn't care because he was being nice to Putin or whatever. So let's look at what we actually know about how this president operates, because the Iran instance is the closest thing we have to that. So in this case, the Iranian government was directly trying to kill Americans, which, by the way, they also tried to do under Obama and Bush. But look what Trump did. When Trump got confirmed intelligence about what was going on, and the intelligence was actionable, and he could do something about, what did he do? He took the guy out. And what's really funny is many of the same people who are attacking the president now were the same ones who attacked him for going after Soleimani, which really leads you to believe that this has nothing to do with really getting to the facts. Because the reality is when American soldiers are threatened, this president has stood up for the soldiers and had their back. I mean, and that's, I think, how we should start when we look at the Russia story.
Jim Carafano is leading expert in national security and foreign policy at Heritage. Jim, Putin and Trump, the narrative has been that these two guys are in bed together. No way. Now Putin is paying to have American troops killed in Afghanistan because they're not. They're enemies. So the narrative seemed to make absolutely no sense given whatever day it is. What in your expertise does Putin actually think of America under Trump?
Well, he wants America to fail, and Trump is actually a big problem. So here's the thing about this story is, do we disbelieve that the GRE, which is the paramilitary arm of the Russian government, put out bounties on Americans? We don't think that's impossible. The Soviets used to do that stuff all the time. Putin uses many of the exact same tactics. So we don't doubt it might not be true. Why would they do that? Because in Afghanistan, where actually they'd be better off with a stable Afghanistan, because Putin actually wants America to fail. So the reality is Putin treats us like an enemy, and he treats Trump like an enemy. And while Trump is nice to him, he's nice to him in a way that every other leader is nice to him. They'd like to offer an off-ramp for him to stop. Macron recently, for example, offered to have two talks with Putin. Nobody accused him of treason. So I think to your fundamental point, Russia sees the United States as an enemy, and it treats us like as such. U.S. policy actually treats Russia like an enemy.
I want to ask you a little bit about how Adam Schiff is talking here. Listen to what he says here.
I shared the concern at the White House today that I think many of us have, which is there may be a reluctance to brief the president on things he doesn't want to hear. And that may be more true with respect to Putin and Putin's Russia than with respect to any other subject matter. Many of us do not understand his affinity for that autocratic ruler who means our nation ill.
So Adam Schiff here is saying that the president has an affinity for the autocratic ruler in Russia, Putin. And I was listening today to a pundit on Fox News who is a progressive say that the president needs to come out and say exactly where the American position is on Russia. It kind of makes me chuckle inside because if you look at what the president has done with sanctions and the way Donald Trump has employed policy against Russia, if you looked at what has actually been done, you would see how this president feels about the Russian leader. It seems to me that it's the leftist media that is out there right now that is constantly trying to put doubt in Americans' mind as to where America's position is in proximity to Russia.
So listen very closely to Schiff's words. Right. And the contrast with the New York Times, the New York Times says the president was briefed, which makes it sound like, oh, he didn't do anything about it. Now, we get information the president was briefed. So what does Schiff do? He says, oh, well, the president probably wasn't briefed because he doesn't want to hear that. Does he have any evidence for that? No. So there's a link here. I mean, these are clearly arguments designed to indict the president. They're not arguments actually based on fact and U.S. policy.
Jim Carafano, how is all of this information constantly getting out about our national security? I mean, do we actively have people in our government that are working to get this stuff out to make Trump look bad? I mean, that's what it seems like.
Well, that's obviously true because we know for a fact there was intelligence gathered about this. And there is an ongoing intelligence assessment going on about it. I mean, I think it's the whole point is if the president had confirmable action on intelligence, he would act on it, but he doesn't because the process is still going on. So obviously somebody leaked that, but which is not right because it's classified intelligence. So somebody committed a crime. But what's equally bad is that both media and critics and his political opponents are actually trying to use this against the president. Let's go back and look at the New York Times article for just a second. They said the president was briefed. Does anywhere in that article say we called the White House and we asked them if the president was briefed and they declined to comment or they said no? What the New York Times is doing is the opposite of what people like Woodward and Bernstein did back in the day, even though Woodward and Bernstein are the first to defend these journalists. When Woodward and Bernstein went to their source of, you know, Deep Throat, the deputy director of the FBI, they didn't just run out and publish. They actually try to confirm everything he said. The New York Times is not doing that. What they're doing is they're taking whatever they get, and then they're creating a story around that to attack the president. That's not journalism. That's advocacy. Well, it is a kind of journalism. It's not objective journalism like we would expect from the New York Times or in the days – or the Washington Post in the days of Woodward and Bernstein. They are literally taking leaks and using them to attack the president, and they're doing it deliberately.
I wanted to ask you real quick before we let you go about the EU reopening its borders. The United States still not included in those 14 nations that can travel freely. Is this something that is a surprise to you, or is this to be expected?
No, I think it's to be expected. Look, we did it to them. I for one, think that public health should be in the hand of governments, and governments should make the decision that's in the best interest of their people. So whereas would have, you know, any European that whined about the United States closing our borders, I would say we had a perfect right to do that. And the Europeans have a perfect right to do that. Here's the problem of the Europeans. If you look at countries like Italy, for example, 65% of their business is tourism. You know, at some point, the lack of American tourists is really going to hurt European economic recovery. So that's one they kind of got to figure out.
Yeah, and time will certainly tell. Jim, thank you so much for coming on with us today. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, absolutely. At JJ Carafano on Twitter, heritage.org. I always appreciate the directness with which he approaches truth, and he is able to weed out the fake news in the garden of information very, very quickly. And you know, when Stephen Moore is on with us, he did it again. He did it again yesterday. He asks me a question. Mm-hmm. He's like laying information on me and I'm soaking it in. And then he'll be like, Annie, do you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope I know the answer to this question. And I'm usually like 70% confident that I know what the answer is, yeah. But I don't want to look stupid in front of you because you're tuning into the show to be entertained and to hear the information that usually I have, you know, three articles or something in front of me on screens and in printouts. And Stephen Moore's like, Annie, you know what the interest rate is for 25-year-olds in the new home? I'm like, yeah. I don't know. Is it 42%?
Annie, which Middle Eastern country has the Wailing Wall? We all know this. What is it?
Yeah, obviously you know this. Tell the people. Jim Carafano, like, he'll bust you if you put something out there that is just like ridiculously jaded because of the news source he got it from. He'd call you out on it. So you got to be on your game with these heritage folks. But I appreciate him, and I met him, I don't know, it was like 4 years ago or something, and he's always been so very kind to our show. You know who we haven't talked to in a long time, Katie?
Who?
Our boy Hans.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it's been
I miss him.
A few weeks.
Let's get him on the show tomorrow.
Sure.
I love talking to Hans von Spakovsky, especially because a little inside Annie Fry show trivia. I started my first time ever on the air was with the always kind Mark Cox on the Mark Cox Show that was on Sunday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 97.1. Jeff, our boss at the time, said, Annie, I want to try something. Why don't you just go sit in the studio with Mark? And Mark's the sweetest guy. He'll take care of you. And he was so correct on that. And the first time that I had to fill in for Mark was the most nervous I have ever been in my life for anything ever. Childbirth? No. Marriage, you know, standing up in front of people and getting married didn't bother me at all. Filling in on the Mark Cox Show and holding that burden in my hand, sink or swim, terrifying. Mm-hmm. And I had, of course, Hans von Spakovsky on my show the very first time. And I was like, is this a real name? Am I being punked? And then this guy comes on and he's so brilliant. And every time I've spoken to him, I don't think he knows that he was like on my first show ever that I did by myself.
We should tell him.
Yeah.
We should let him know.
He'll be like, oh, I remember. It was a train wreck. Just so you know, you're still making that up to me. Yeah, so let's get Hans on again. Always good to talk to Jim Carafano. Quick break. When we come back, we can take some more phone calls, 314-241-9797. And we want more jokes here. Let's see. Make me laugh.
What's the difference between a hippo and a Zippo? One is really heavy, and the other is a little lighter.
These noises.
I guess that's a hippo. I don't think it's the little lighter. Oh, thank you, Google, for making me laugh. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Tuesday. Still at that point in my life where I have to look at the date on my calendar, on my computer, to know what day it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still, like, pouring rain wherever y'all are?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was crazy last night by my house.
Yeah.
My house was shaking.
Five people and a dog sleeping in my bedroom last night.
Wow.
Do your kids come sleep in your room when it storms? Do they wake up, Ryan?
No. And we just gave my three-year-old what we call his short rail so he can get out of his crib on his own. And he's staying in there.
Chilling?
We're like, dude, you can get up in the morning now. You understand?
Yeah,
he's
you
like,
can come get me.
I'm waiting for mommy. Okay.
I appreciate that.
All of our kids come and sleep in our room, and it's really, I don't know if it's good or bad parenting, but we're like, sleep on the floor. Bring a pillow and a blanket. You can sleep on the floor. If that makes you go back to sleep, why not?
Oh my gosh. I jumped up at 1 o'clock in the morning because, I mean, our house was just like rattling, and I have never experienced something like that before. And I grabbed David. I'm like, is this an earthquake? What's going on?
It's been so long since it's rained.
Yeah.
I love rainy days. I probably more than the normal person should. It's funny because normal life, Annie, is going in a billion places at one time. Like, I'm only ever looking 2 hours in advance. A couple weeks ago, I was looking through my calendar and I had to go back to look at something in January. And my calendar has like three or four somethings on every single day in January and in February. And then you get into the last few months and it's just very sporadic. There isn't a whole lot going on. And I am not missing that old lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But rainy days to me generally cause me to slow down. And so I am very grateful for that. But we have had ridiculously gorgeous weather for quite some time. But to me, the rain breaking up the monotony, you know, like, oh, of all the things that we have going on. And I'm like, well, the weather's too nice. It just needs to be awful for a day. I'm happy to have this. I love rainstorms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now that you say it, I haven't thought about it, but we really haven't had much rain this summer at all. I haven't heard him saying we've had a drought or anything, though.
Yeah.
When was the last time you remember a storm?
Good question. At least a month.
I don't know. I do appreciate it, though, today. I'm not typically on that bandwagon with you, Annie, but today I do like this rainy weather.
Yeah. You're affected heavily by rainy weather. Like, Katie, is that 3 days is too many or two in a row?
Two in a row. I'm already like, I feel really weird. I start to get in a very weird funk. I don't know why that is. But weather really affects me.
Does it affect you, Ryan?
If it's too long, yeah. I mean, after like a 4 or 5 days, I can start to be kind of down over it. Does it affect you?
No.
I mean, you're the opposite. like after
what?
5 days of rain, though, would you not be like, okay, I want to see some sun?
I wouldn't mind seeing sun. It just doesn't. It doesn't hamper my lifestyle terribly much. When I am doing the Slim 180 diet, which I'm not doing anymore because I've lost the weight and very excited about that, I run a lot. I haven't gone back out and started my running again since I've been down, which I need to do because it's probably going to be easier 16 to 17 pounds down. But most of my life is spent inside doing stuff. I have a treadmill inside. I have, you know, like I can work out inside. I hang out with the kids. What we will do is, generally speaking, the boys have baseball 2 or 3 days a week. So the girls and I will go swimming. Mm-hmm. So I guess if I felt like I needed to go to the pool and I couldn't, maybe that would be what would kind of be a bummer for me. But He just gets to the point. I don't know. Just,
I'll tell you what.
I like the slowdown, so.
I am starting a diet tomorrow, July 1st.
Can we talk about it?
We can. It's the full month. It is no sugar on this diet for a full month.
Which is really all you eat.
It really is. Sometimes I look back at dinner and I'm like, did I eat anything other than a Snickers?
Circus peanuts from the toilet.
So, yeah. Just, I mean, you hide them around because you need them.
You know, folks.
You know.
But I really think that I'm apologizing to you both ahead of time that I'm going to go through detox, I think, on this probably for the next at least week. Maybe I'll find equilibrium sometime mid next week on this, but it is going to be bad.
Talk to us like about your what you're doing or why you're doing it?
A little bit. So it's related to I had this surgery on my stomach like 3-4 weeks ago now, and I'm trying to fix some things going on in my stomach. And I'm trying to sort of like attack them all at once because there's several different issues. And one of them is getting rid of this like whatever, you know, like the good bacteria and the bad bacteria that they say you have. Like I need to get rid of the bad. And they say it's because I keep eating so much sugar, like I'm feeding it. So I have to do this diet.
Have you
like
imagined
SIBO.
That situation in your stomach as like a little sugar eating man yet?
Oh yeah. Every time I'm eating sugar, now that I found
what's
that out,
like?
I'm like, oh no, this is feeding that little green.
Have you
thing.
Named it?
No, I haven't named it because I picture
but it is
many.
A like, green thing
because that would be weird.
Come on,
standards, Annie.
The bacteria
wait, do
that I picture
weird
as a
and
cartoon
ridiculous
in my
like
stomach.
That?
Have you ever gone on a diet before? I'm sorry to interrupt. Have you ever done something like that before?
So here's the really weird thing. I have tried.
People
to
are
limit...
imagining you.
Yes.
Like you're all you do is eat a sugar case. Like it's hard to tell. Have you ever dieted?
Right.
Have
you ever done it? And if they're just listening on the radio, have never tuned in online and seen that
just
I'm not.
Just stick
like,
with your imagination. Don't tune into Facebook Live or Annie Fry YouTube page. Yeah. Just keep with your imagination.
They're picturing me like walking into a room. How long I'm here for your candy.
Have you ever seen Star Wars?
Yeah. I'm
seen
exactly Spaceballs? Like Han Solo is what you're going to say, right?
Yeah. Pizza the Hut.
That's Spaceballs.
We're going to send out for you. I said Spaceballs.
Oh, I thought you said Star Wars.
I said Star Wars and then I said Spaceballs.
Ah, yes. I am exactly like Jabba the Hutt / Pizza the Hutt.
with pepperoni and cheese just dripping off.
Pizza and the Hut grossest
is
going
to send out for you.
And he's got this tongue always sticking out too. I'm like, put that thing away. Put it away. No one wants to see that.
So I tried to do Spaceballs. A diet of limiting my sugar a while back. And it was a diet I just made up because anytime I wanted sugar, I would just go buy like candy or ice cream or something because I wanted it because I'm an adult and I can do that. And
no,
because so
you're
this...
an adult, you don't do that. That's what you do when you're like a what they would refer to as a young man.
I've never gotten over man? Like, oh my gosh, I'm in college now.
I can make all my decisions by myself. Watch me go.
A whole plate of butterscotch pudding. Don't mind if I do. But so I did this diet that I made up called the buy it diet that I could only eat candy that I didn't buy. So I couldn't just go get myself something, and it actually worked. It limited the amount of candy and sugar that I was eating because I had to have stuff that other people had given me.
Did
Christmas
you
was
stuff?
Wonderful from you, Andy, because you gave me all those Twixes.
I did. I gave you a whole 6-foot sleeve of Twixes.
Yeah.
You're like, the
I don't
diet
know what you're
gives.
Talking about.
That's right. Yeah. So that was a huge, huge day for me, and it continue to keep giving throughout the year. But now it's like, okay, I've tried all these things. I got to actually completely cut sugar to really do it right. Tough. And so that's what July is going to look like. And it is going to be terrible for you and for me and
so,
everyone listening.
Legit, like in any given day of Ryan eating, what kind of sugar intake do you have? Just like the average day.
Right now, I'm
not
drinking
the worst
a sweet
day.
Tea.
Not the best. You drink sweet tea?
Sweet tea and soda. So I'll have one of those during the show usually. And then after the
sugared
show.
Sugared soda.
Yeah, yeah. No. Like not a Zevia soda or something.
Oh.
You know. Those
Stevia?
Stevia.
You
sodas.
Don't even know what fake sugar is called.
Well, they're called Zevias, the soda brand is.
Never heard of it.
So after.
Have you
the
heard
show,
of that, Katie?
I've never heard of that. I think we're talking about the artificial sugar.
We are. I might have a bag of gummy bears after the show just for fun, you know, just to raise my spirits a little bit.
We can, oh, what, a, you know, Ryan used to have, when you guys were in the office, I think, you had a snack drawer. You had a snack drawer, and there was
a lot of feelings coming out right now.
Yes, I promised I wouldn't get emotional.
Who knew? We said gummy bears, and I just lost it.
So upset. What was in your snack? You had so much stuff: candy, all different. Yes,
Vallow milk.
Yeah, there was a big box of Vallow milk from the Glover Show they had given me since they stole mine and ate it and had to pay me back. And so I had those, and I had your Twixes that you gave me. I had a gummy set, the sushi gummy set that Gabe Pfeiffer had given me for a while.
The sushi gummy set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That sounds as if it's a collector's item.
It was. It was a work of art, and I ate it. Actually, it didn't last long.
When was the last time you were at your desk?
Like sitting there?
No.
Or
physically in the office at your where you could have gotten something out of that drawer.
About a week and a half ago.
Are there still treats in there?
There are sugar babies in there.
I should look on break.
Yeah, you can. There's sugar babies in there.
What's a sugar baby?
It's those little, like, the sugar daddy is the one on the stick. It's like a big caramel.
It's the same
thing.
It's just
a little nugget of it.
I'm going to go look on break.
Sugar daddy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sugar
you can have some.
Baby.
It's insane because you would open up that drawer and that was like a 10-year-old's dream.
Yeah.
It was like, whoa.
I think that's what we're getting at.
All the candy ever.
No, I think we drilled down and landed.
So are you going to limit your carb intake too and not just processed sugar?
Yeah, it's the whole thing. Like, I mean, I can only basically eat meat and some vegetables and nuts. That's pretty much it.
So. Have you been told what you're allowed to eat, or is this like the buy it diet that you made up yourself?
This is a real one. It's called the SIBO, S-I-B-O diet. It's probably kind of like the paleo thing. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but it's similar.
Good luck. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, watch it happen live here on the Annie Fry Show Facebook Live and YouTube Live. Because
I'm telling you, this time tomorrow, you're going to see it in my face. Like, I'm going to be sweating.
How much sugar do you normally have before, by this time in the show?
Not a ton.
Sugar
just
drink.
Just a soda.
Do
about
you eat cereal?
This time. Once in a while, but not for breakfast.
As a midnight snack.
Hey, it's midnight.
That would be ridiculous. Oh my goodness. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will wrap up the show here with Tony Colombo, Signs of the Apocalypse, as usual. Always great to have Tony come in here. And he'll join us here on the Facebook Live as well. So stick around. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Ryan, a lot of people here are suggesting ways to help lose weight, and a lot of people are suggesting good kinds of coffee. Do you drink coffee?
No, I don't drink coffee or eat dark chocolate, so it kind of kills both of those.
He doesn't like hot, right? You don't like hot beverages, correct?
None?
Mostly. I can drink some, you know, like cappuccino every now and then, but mostly I like cold, yeah.
Cappuccino is usually sugar laden.
That's right. I mean, I don't really care what it is as long as it's got a ton of sugar in it.
It's like coffee flavored sugar.
I'll drink anything. Yeah, that's fine.
Katie, are you drinking a lot of coffee? Are people still making coffee there?
Yes, Stell is still making coffee every single day, and I have about 3 cups. I've upped the ante over here. I usually had about 1 or 2 at most, but now I'm doing 3.
My beverage intake is weird these days. I have a cup of coffee, and then I have a Yeti full of ice water. And then today, instead of my normal Slim 180 energy drink, I have a 44-ounce Diet Mountain Dew, which is really a terrible choice. But sometimes terrible choices need to be made.
I want a fountain drink so badly.
Is Tony Colombo in studio with us?
He's here.
Let's get to some
here
signs
I
of the
am.
Apocalypse. Hi,
now. Signs of the Apocalypse on the Annie Fry Show.
You gonna put me in this video or not?
You're not there.
I'm backstage.
Well, he's backstage. He's got a backstage.
I'm backstage.
Pass.
Only the host can see me.
The host may add you
into the broadcast at any time. Be ready. I'm ready.
I am stalling.
Ready.
Talking about my drinks, like people actually give a crap about what I'm drinking.
This thing has been. It's been telling me to be ready for 3 minutes now, and I'm ready.
End it and restart it while you're doing Signs of the Apocalypse, like a real pro.
I can do that. I will ask this though, before I start. Signs of the Apocalypse. I did join the conversation a few seconds in, and did my right in saying that Ryan was looking for diets or possible ways
Ryan's
to lose
gonna go
weight
on a diet
while eating as much sugar as possible?
No, it's the no, exact
that's
opposite.
That's why Ryan is going.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Apparently, he's feeding a little man in his tummy too much sugar. That's what we've...
Yeah.
All right, I stopped it and restarted it, and I'm backstage again. Only the host can see me. They may add you at any time.
No, you're not.
Be ready.
No, you're not.
Exclamation point.
I don't see you.
Oh, technology!
Yeah, we were doing so well. We were doing so well. I'll send you the link again while you do signs. It's Go for it.
It says be ready. I'm ready. All right, send me the link again.
Being ready too. This is great radio.
Remember last week when I did the story about the different types of hand sanitizer?
Yeah. Hand sanitizer.
I want to get as much. That's where this is going.
Oh, no.
Add as much sugar as possible to make it palatable. So you guys remember that story I did about the different types of hand sanitizer? There's scams out there, these companies that are making things that they are branding as hand sanitizer, but it's actually very dangerous for you. And the reason that they were dangerous is that these companies were using this methanol as an ingredient in the hand sanitizer.
Whoops.
Three people in New Mexico have died from drinking hand sanitizer with methanol.
Golly. In New Mexico?
In New Mexico.
Come on, people.
Three others are in critical condition. So,
golly.
This is aside from the story last week about the scam companies. This is just don't drink hand sanitizer.
Yeah. How about that, folks?
Whether it's the right kind or not.
Let's not try it out.
Do you remember that story I did about about people inhaling hand sanitizer, using it as hand soap?
Dumb.
All those types of things. Yeah.
We're living in the same planet.
People are drinking hand sanitizer thinking that is somehow going to cleanse their insides, and it does not do that.
There you be.
Yeah.
Hey. Look at that. We got it.
Need a new link. Thanks for watching on YouTube and Facebook, because now you see Tony's pretty face.
Mm-hmm. There I am.
Very beardy.
Here we go. This is definitely a weird moment in history, and I guess some people want to be reminded of it every day for the rest of their lives. The baby website, The Bump, just posted a list of the 100 most popular baby names of 2020 so far, and Corona has made the top 100.
Wow. I don't know why you would want to do that to a kid. Like, if you're going to commemorate something that was really exciting, like, I could understand if the St. Louis Cardinals win the World Series and you want to name your daughter Molina, I can see that. But why would you want to name your child after a pandemic? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Doesn't roll off the tongue. This Apple is my daughter, old, Corona.
It's those old biblical names where, you know, if you were having a bad week, you'd name your child like Anguish.
You know, like that.
Yeah. Just like that.
Hi, Tony.
Hi.
I'm so glad you're here.
I know. Thank you.
I can share looks with
you.
Anyway,
we'll see how it goes. So far, what are we, halfway through the year? And it's Corona has already cracked the top 100.
Halfway today.
Wow.
A woman in Wisconsin made a comment on Facebook.
Wow. Hey, girl.
Hey, halfway home.
Hey, you guys. Hey.
Halfway through the worst year in humanity.
Did you hear that, St. Louis?
Is there a part of your brain that thinks that when 2021 gets here, it's going to be over? Because there's a part in my brain that's like, once we get done with 2020, we'll be in the clear. Which is not scientific at all. It's really actually dumb to think that way, but I'm kind of just holding on to it.
So, I'm not typically very optimistic, but
no,
I do believe...
you?
I do believe that... we're going to hit rock bottom at some point, and then things will start to turn around.
So you're saying we're not there yet?
No. Unfortunately, no.
Annie, I think there's something psychological to that. That everybody is agreeing that 2020 is a weird, bad year.
You have to know there's an end.
Bad year.
Yeah.
It mentally gives you the concept that this is a finite amount of time. It's not,
worse.
People. It could get worse and continue to get worse.
It's even worse for a woman named Cheryl in Wisconsin who made on Facebook saying that her husband went on a business trip and caught an STD from his face mask.
What?
Oh, yeah. That happens.
No, no. You're doing something wrong.
She believes. She
not
believes
sure where to start.
Her husband when he says, I went on this business trip and I came back with this disease. And he said, I got it from the mask. And she's believing it.
Mask.
She's in this forum on Facebook kind of like this anti-mask discussion. And she's like, and get this. Here's how bad masks are. Not only are they not saving people, my husband went on a business trip. They made him wear his mask, and he came back with the clap. And so everybody else in this conversation is like telling her, like, sweetie, no. Don't let him get away with this.
Oh, honey,
she's
no.
like, no, no. He said that a doctor told him that he got it from his mask.
Oh, my gosh. I feel badly for that person.
That's what he gets for using one of those homemade ones instead of an N95.
What got you, Annie? The clap part?
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Oh, boy. Mm-mm. Honey, we need to sit down. Mm-mm. Poor Sharon and poor Corona.
Cheryl.
Poor Cheryl.
Cheryl in Wisconsin.
Sharon's fine, Katie. Leave her out of this.
Sharon.
And people are, Sharon it's, and Cheryl
you can look
Corona.
The story up on the internet and you can read like the discussion board where people are like, no. I think you have some issues that you need to work out. And she's like, no. A doctor
Our
told
Our marriage
him.
Is fine.
A doctor Leave told me alone. Him.
Masks
the
are
mask
not.
Gave it to him.
the mask.
Man, signs of the apocalypse heavy today. The coronavirus treatment drug remdesivir by Gilead Sciences is going to cost $3,120 for people with health insurance.
Mm.
Gilead will make all the profit on the drug, even though it was developed with at least $70 million of taxpayer money.
Oh.
The company disclosed its pricing for the COVID-19 treatment, saying it will charge $3,120 for patients with private health insurance. Patients who are covered by the government, like Medicaid, will be charged $2,300, just over $2,300 for a typical treatment. The amount that patients pay out of pocket depends on the insurance, income, and other factors.
Does that?
That makes me so mad.
If it says that it's charging $3,100 for people who have insurance, is that what they're billing, but that's not going to be the
that's
patient's
what
they're response? Well, I mean,
no,
but,
not necessarily the patients, but that's what they're going to make from it after the insurance company pays their part of it and you pay your part of it.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Developed with $70 million of taxpayer money and they're getting all the profits.
President Trump just won. Wasn't it a Supreme Court case that was about hospital transparency and pricing? We need that so badly.
Desperately.
Where you have an itemized bill that is very in plain sight explaining to you that you just paid $16 for an Advil. We need to be able to see that type of stuff. Because, again, same thing with college education. We never talk about why things cost so ungodly much.
Yeah.
We only talk about how to pay for it
right.
with your tax dollars.
Right.
Let's talk about why it costs so much and make it not be, like, highway robbery for people who need this. It's like
a big problem there.
It's awful.
Before you go, Tony, Kayleigh McEnany is on one right now, and I don't know what she's saying, but her facial expressions for the last 5 minutes, I don't think I have ever seen her look this stern. She
Love
is
her.
On one right
Let's
now.
Let's put it up. Let's find the post and put it up on the blog
okay.
when we get done. 971talk.com/Annie.
All right, let's get back into a more traditional sign of the apocalypse. This is a story that made this segment. These are the types
this
of stories
about STDs
that
again.
Made these this segment
I hope
famous.
So.
A drunk woman crashed her pickup truck after picking up a drunk friend who had just crashed his pickup truck.
Oh, no, people. Seriously. Hey. Since I got it up, I mean, why not?
38-year-old guy named Frederick Turner was
works.
Out drinking and driving in his pickup truck in Georgia last week, and he crashed it. So his 22-year-old friend, Jesse Walker, came to get him.
Not Johnny
She was
Walker.
Also drunk in her pickup truck, and she crashed it on her way.
Oh, my gosh.
As she was carrying out the rescue mission.
The company you keep, people. The company you keep.
So there's
Elevate.
Two crashed pickup trucks from two drunk drivers. Don't drive drunk.
Man.
Dummy.
Seriously. I hope they go to jail for both of them.
They both lost their pickup trucks.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, thanks for tuning in today. Check us out on YouTube. The Annie Fry YouTube channel is approaching 900 subscribers. We're building this platform to try to be able to stream in multiple places, and we're grateful for everybody who has subscribed so far. You can watch the show on your YouTube app on your smart TV, also on your YouTube app on your phone and on your desktop, and as always on Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. And that radio.com app has our podcast on it. If you're streaming us live on radio.com, you can rewind that and you can just keep listening because the Dave Glover Show is going to come up right after this on the same radio.com app. Tony, thanks for coming in. Katie, Ryan, we'll see you tomorrow. DGS coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.